We come today to adore you and to worship you and to get to know you more. And God, we want to give you the honor and the glory that you're due, because you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy of our worship. Because of your goodness and because of your faithfulness, God, we want to honor you. So if you agree with me, just pray this with me. Lord, have your way in me today. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Just two other important things I forgot to announce earlier. The Bible study on Tuesday nights will continue for the next 2 weeks. Then we're going to take a break for Christmas. So this Tuesday, plan to come. Bud's going to lead it. So it's going to be really good. And so plan to come 7 o'clock here at the church. And also, if you'd like to give, the offering plates are at the back door on your way out, or you can give by e-transfer at giving@maplecreekfamilychurch.ca. And I would really, it's my honor and pleasure to invite Bill to come, Pastor Bill to come today and share whatever God has put on his heart. So would you welcome Pastor Bill as he comes? And can we pray for him before he starts?
Amen.
God, we just thank you for Pastor Bill. We thank you, God, for the anointing that's on his life and the call that's on his life and the word that you put on his heart for us this morning.
Yes.
I just pray you bless him and use him to speak to us today. God, we pray for your word to shine through in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Paul. It's good to be here. We just greet you in the name of Jesus. It's always amazing, you know, where God takes you and where God places you and where God, you know, positions you. And it's really amazing. So I just humbly come before you. Anytime you hear me speak, that's the gift of the Lord. And because I was the shyest, backwards, littlest guy that you could ever know. And Vera was like that too, my sister Vera. She'd hear a vehicle coming down the road, she'd be running. So that's the kind of background we come from. We were very, very isolated, and we would, even times when I would have to do school presentations and stuff like that, it was just like the craziest fear that would come over me. And there's no way I could public speak. So anytime you hear me speaking, it's God speaking through me. He's the one who's given me the gift to share. And it's just humbling because of some of the stuff, as we share the stuff that we can see, literally see the word of God at times. And it's just quite amazing as we share God's heart. We're learning more and more in the last 22 months or so, you know, since COVID hit. A lot of the stuff that we were doing, lots and lots of work online, a lot of local Zoom calls, Zoom prayers, lots of daily devotions on our Facebook site. And so we have quite a bit of, we're still working. Some of our church services, sometimes as I was talking to Pastor Hans, he said he's just not sure who's going to show up, who's not going to show up based on what's happened in the last 20-some months. And before, we would kind of have an idea of who was going to be here. And with that, you know, I'm going to get my sister and my beautiful wife to come and share what they have on their hearts this morning. I'm not sure who Vera's going to go.
Greet you all in the name of Jesus today, and he's right that we were not public speakers, or did we talk? I went to university without talking, but being a teacher now for 30-some years, I'm first to talk, right? And but I greet you all in the name of Jesus, and God has given me the gift of seeing, and I don't take that lightly, you know, for my people who are called by my name, you know, humble themselves, right, and seek his face, right? And so today in worship, I just love your worship, and I bless this congregation. I bless this place, Father Lord. If there's things that are not of you, Father Lord, you bind them up and you take them out of here, Father Lord. And I pray that this place will prosper, Father, and be in health, that this church would be in health, Father Lord, spiritually, Father Lord, emotionally, Father Lord, physically, Father Lord, mentally, Father Lord. I pray right now, Father God, that you will just reign in this place, Father, this open heaven that is in this place, Father Lord. And this morning, as I, as the worship came, I'm a seer, so I was going to share. I saw a big door right here, like a big door. And I saw a welcoming mat. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, right? There's a welcoming mat. And I seen that. And he said, many people come to the door, and they stay, and they sit for maybe 20, 30 years at the door of the Lord, and they never open up. And he said, open up. He said, I have so much more for you, so much more that you can't even imagine. And as if you just open, I could just see, oh, Lord, open the door. And each one of us have to come to that door and literally open it up and taste and see how good he is on the other side. Taste and see what you can. He said, I want to open your eyes even more. I want to open your ears to hear more the voice of God and to do what God would call you to do. And when you walk into the door, the obedience will fall and the wisdom will fall. The wisdom is amazing. Yet last Sunday in our church, wisdom came. And he sat amongst us. He sat there. Wisdom came. And I said, Lord, who's that? I never seen him before. Because I'm not wise, you know. And I don't know who that is, you know. And I literally seen this ancient. He sat there amongst us. And I said, Lord, who's that? And he said, that's wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom has come today. And I said, oh, I want wisdom, Lord. I want wisdom to know what to teach. I know I want wisdom to know what to do with my girls and my grandkids. I want wisdom to know to be able to walk in the things of God, to have the discernment to know, right? To know when someone comes with that baby and you know that's not that person's baby and it's the other person's baby and they come and you cut them in half, you know, whatever, right? Right? The wisdom that we would have. And he said, if you ask for wisdom, he said, all the riches and all the other stuff will come because Solomon asked for wisdom and more things came. So we need to come to the door and open up and taste and see. And I remember coming, living on the reserve and growing up on the reserve, born on the reserve. And I went to university and I graduated. I said, oh, good, I graduated. That's good enough. You know, and they said, no, you're going to university. You're going to be a teacher. I went, what? And they took me to university, and I saw a register, and I went, and I registered, and I went there, and I went to the university, and I looked around, and there's no other Native people there. And I was so proud. They're saying, oh, as people said, stand up and tell you where you're from. And they said, I'm from Stoughton. I'm from here. And I go, I'm from Papikasis First Nations. You could hear a pin drop. Everybody looked. And they looked at me, I'm like, what? You know, and it took a lot for me to say that, right? And so the professor asked me, can you come? I'm going to talk to you. Indians, back in the day, we're Indians back in the day. Now we're First Nations. Now we're Anishinaabe or whatever we are. But back in the day when I went to school for 30-some years ago, okay, 40, I was Indian. And she said, Indians cannot make this program. School's easy. Why can I make it? It's easy. University is easy. School is easy. Why can I make it? No, Indians can't make this program. You should just go back to your reserve or wherever you're going. And because of stubbornness, thank the Lord for stubbornness, I saw myself walk across that. 4 years later, I saw myself walk across that place. And when I got into that parking lot to graduate amongst people that never treated me good for 4 years, never treated me good. They say, oh, you have to work in groups. Oh, I'll be sitting there alone. Maybe she can talk about her Indian people. And they wouldn't pick me as a group. And I'll end with this. I did something really bad. And because God had given me a lot of joy in my life, I would just laugh, you know, my first day of school when I never saw high heels on the reserve and the teacher came and high heels and I'm like, oh, how does she get wood, you know? I don't know how. How does she walk in the bush, you know? How does she chase rabbits, right? And my first day of school, my mom, shut up, just be good, you know? And the first day of school, I got my first lick in from the teacher. First recess, first day of school. Never been hit before. Boom, boom, boom. A tenant beat the Indian out of me, right? And I didn't even know what I did, but I was stubborn. I said, I'm going to graduate. You know, and I went on. I graduated, and I went on to university. And on graduation day, I couldn't go in. I couldn't go in. I was so ashamed. I sat there with my res vehicle, my car tied up with with a string because the door didn't work and no muffler. And I sat there and I said, I don't belong in there. I'm not going to go get my diploma. And I turned around and I got saved not long after that. I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And oh, I fell in love with God. And I remember my first year teaching, the Lord touched me so mightily that I went walking around and I was Shakyamandan, you know. Oh my God, people walking on the side of me like, what? No, no, I don't know what's happening to me too. I don't know, you know. And then all the teachers start getting saved. And the board of directors said, oh, she can't do that. They can't do exorcisms right there in the playground. They can't. And I didn't even, you know, God was doing deliverances and it was powerful. And I couldn't shut up. I was silent all those years. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I couldn't shut up. I was so, there's angels, you know, and I'm running through the school and come back to life, you know. And I met Jesus. The greatest thing I've ever done, I accept Jesus and I asked him to come, right? But I didn't even know who he was when he came into that ceremony when I was dying. And the doctor said, there's nothing we can do for her. They took me and they put me into an Indian ceremony. And I took my last breath in there and Jesus came in. I can use that crazy one. And he pulled me back up from the depths of hell. And I got saved. And I said, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. And my whole life has been transported. My whole life, I've been around the world. I've been, all of a sudden, I'm speaking in Jerusalem. All of a sudden, God took me here and took me there. I couldn't even speak, but the Holy Spirit came inside me. And he said, open up your mouth and I will speak through you. And it's so honored to be in this place. And I'll never shut that down, what God has given me, you know, and I would never stop that. So the University of Regina, I went through that place. I was telling you, I did something really silly. And these Monia, we call with white people, sorry, my white brothers and sisters. And they came to me and they said, I have to go to the Gordons First Nations. We have never been on the reserve before. Oh, I said. And he said, we have to go and we have to do the Sunday school for the United Church there. Can you tell me about the reserve? What's your name again? She goes, you know, whatever. It was nice knowing you. And she was like, oh. And her friends were saying, it's okay. Can you cancel? No, I told him he's gone. I have to go and do Sunday school at the United Church. And I said, okay, I'll tell you how it is. When you get to the reserve, there'll be a river there. They'd be warriors. They might take your cross. They might not. Don't look at them. Just keep your head down. When you walk to the natives, you walk with your head down. They don't like eye contact, you know. And she said, oh, my God. And so you get to this canoe. They'll take you over if you, you know, give them a gift or something. They'll take you across the river. And when you get to the camp, there'll be teepees all around. Don't go to the one in the north. That's the mean old wicked shaman. He'll put a curse on you. Go around the camp. Go around the bush. The night of church is to the far way over there. Don't look at the camp. Don't look at. And you go to the church. And I said, you'll be okay. What's your name again? It was nice knowing you. And I patted on her back. Monday came and she goes, she said, there's cars and houses and satellites and TVs. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to pull that on you. And that's how I survived, by making jokes. The professor said, Vera, when did the Métis Society start in Canada? When did they meet? I don't know anything about the Métis people. I don't know about the, you know, all this. And they thought we knew everything. I said, 9 months after you white guys came, the Métis Society started. Professor, Vera, right? And that's how I survived, in a society that did not accept us, right? And I love that. A few years later, I get a call, and they said, Vera, from the University of Regina, we want to give you one of the highest awards of humanitarian award for, you know, for the university. Today, what did I do? And they honored me, and they brought me into the university, and they honored me for the humanitarian stuff that I did. I don't even know what I did. And they brought you in. And you know how God, once you get saved and start being obedient to the things of God, he'll honor you. He'll favor you wherever you go. God will love on you. You know, just, you know, you don't know who you're going to sit. I thought Johnny Cash Growing up on the reserve was my brother. He heard him all the time, right? Johnny Cash, right? Every party, Johnny Cash. So I wrote in my little journal, I want to meet Johnny Cash. And then all of a sudden, I was speaking in Washington, D.C. at the Hilton. And Florence Henderson, the Brady Bunch mom, was the MC. And I'm like, oh, you're a mom that didn't even get dirty in the kitchen. You wore high heels and cooking bread. And I always wanted to meet you in the Brady Bunch. And she was the MC. And all of a sudden, they said, we want to call a special guest. And it was Johnny Cash. And I'm like, oh, Johnny! And no, I didn't say that. I was like, oh, wow. And but he was saved now. And he said, I used to sing these songs back in the day, but now I sing Amazing Grace. And he shared his testimony to 1,500 people. And only God can do that. With that, God bless you. Amen. Amen.
I should have went up first. Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. It's really good to be here. I just love the worship that we had this morning. It's so wonderful to come before a mighty God and just honor him on Sundays, not only Sundays, but every day. But a lot's been going on since we were last here. God has been just moving. And one thing I like to do is, has really inspired upon me is the Word of God. You know, I encourage you, fall in love with the Word of God. Become to know the Word of God. Have a relationship with the Word of God, is what I'm trying to say, is because Pastor Bill would always say, it's the Word of God, it's always been tried. It's the only thing that's tried, and that's what I'd like to share. And one thing that I was thinking about, my husband and my sister-in-law, I too am not a public person speaker. And it seems like the Lord just has a sense of humor. He's just like, he's sending all those people that are afraid of people's faces. He's always sending them to the forefront. But one thing that God has been all these years of my life, I grew up on the Kiskus First Nations, that's by Manitoba border by Kamsack, and very shy, very quiet. And but one thing God has been to me since I was young, he's always been that hiding place for me. He's always been that strong tower that I would run to. And I didn't realize that when I was younger. But as I begin to grow up, he's always been that strong tower which I run to. He's always been my hiding place. He's always been my safe place. Because it says, it says, I'll hide you in my pavilion. He says, in Psalms 91, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's the place where I want to stay, is why would I hide myself or shelter myself under anything else that he has to offer? Why would I shelter myself under religion? Why should I shelter myself upon the Indian tradition that so set me back to fear? The best place that I found myself is in the secret place. That's where I hide myself. And God, even today, every day, God, hide me. Hide me behind your word. Hide me behind your cross. Because who I am, I really don't have anything to offer, but you make me who I am today. Amen. You give me the confidence that I need, because knowing his word just builds my confidence up. Because knowing who I am, that I am seated in heavenly places with him, that I am sit on the right hand of the Father with him, because he gives me that confidence of who I am. Many times I begin to say, well, this is who I am, and this is where I am, and this is just who I am. I just was raised on the reservation, this is just who I am. No, that's not just who I am. I'm bought, I am paid for by the blood of Jesus. That's who I am. I begin to find out really who I am in Christ, because he's given me that confidence. Amen. And that's why I encourage, build that relationship with your word, especially during these last days, because many things will come to deceive, deception will come. And by knowing the word of God, you'll know the deception. People that say that are your friends or declare this and that will begin to come to light. Amen. That's why you really need to know the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God has been tried, and it's been true, and it's living, and it's revealing. It reveals. It gives you revelation. And so I want to encourage you just to know the Word of God. And that's what I'm here to say. Know your Word of God. build that relationship with your Word of God. Get it in you. Get the Word of God in you. Amen. During these last days, and you'll be able to begin to make decisions and know, like I said, because it's within my spirit, just like deception is coming. There is deception that is coming. So you need to know the Word of God. Amen. But, you know, God is good. I just want to say God is good. I'm just so thankful for the worship because it declares God's goodness. We're declaring God's righteousness. We're declaring God's goodness. We're declaring who He is. And that's why I love to sing the praises of His praises, because I want to declare, you know, who He is in my life. I want to declare that because He's wonderful. He's a wonderful God to serve. He's amazing. And I just love Him. You know, even through this whole pandemic, you know, I'm a nurse actually, and this pandemic has pretty much pushed me back to almost burnout, to almost like walking away from my job because there was no let up. But it was these last 2 months, September, October, where God has given me the strength to wake up every day, and do what I need to do. So I want to say, you know, pray for those healthcare workers. You know, that's where my heart is, you know, because there was, my husband would bear with me, and he'd say, just one more day, Telly, just one more day, and wake up and do it again. It's just one more day. It's just one more day. Amen. Weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, we were on the phone. You know, I just want to say, pray for your healthcare workers. You know, they need your prayers. We need your strength today. Amen. God bless you.
She's quite awesome. We were quite young in the Lord when we started pastoring. I was like 21 years old when I started pastoring, and Tilly would come up and says, "Oh, thank the Lord for my dress. I thank the Lord for my my new hairdo." And she's been like pretty, and she'd come on. And she would talk about stuff like that. But now she just talks about the Word, and just encourages. I could sit there and just listen to her and just let her preach. So there's times when she just took over and preached, and I just backed away, and because God is so good. Amen. And God is good to us. And we do, I just want to, you know, just give Him praise and give Him worship. You know, God has been just doing some tremendous stuff in our ministry. I had a dream or a vision. I guess it's a vision within a dream a few years back. And I was looking through different screens. And as I was looking through those different screens, God began to, I was sharing through those screens, and I didn't know anything about what that vision was really saying to me, but when I woke up, the literal, my hair stood up on the back, and I was almost paralyzed, because the enemy never ever comes into my house, because I don't think angels allow him to come in, but for that day, that specific time, he was there at my bed when God began to reveal me to this message through a dream, and I could literally just froze in fear, and because God was revealing to me how and what we're going to do in some of the ministry, and He was giving me direction, and the enemy was there when I woke up. And I kind of searched for Tilly. Tilly, I grabbed her hand. Let's pray. And we begin to rebuke the enemy. And there's the one and only time that I really sensed the enemy coming right into. I felt Holy Spirit come, and He spoke to us many times. God and I remember that specific time because I'm saying this because God is starting to when we're doing our kind of like a podcast on every morning. God has been giving me opportunity to share the Word of God through that. Now we're pulling in some of our other ministries and other teams into the podcast and the morning devotions through our Facebook Live. And We've been doing live services every time we have a service. We've expanded a bit. We have a service now in Fort Capel at 11, then we have a service in Yorkton at 3 o'clock. And so we're quite busy on Sunday. We're having and we have some teams that are coming in, and we're developing teams, and they're coming in doing the services, and a lot of the music teams and the different types of teams. And we were in Melville originally, and God just said we broke to two different areas, and we got a building given to us in Fort Capel, I'm sitting with the director in Yorkton, we have a Yorkton 98.5 The Rock. They have a Christian station there, and so I'm having coffee with him, and we're going to be going. Hopefully, they have a slot there for First Nations. They have to, I guess it's something in that that's specifically written in their contract that they have to have so much First Nation content. Within their whatever they're doing in the radio. So he wants to give me a half hour. And so pray for us. And we could just do some more of that stuff. And I just, that's why I was talking about, you know, this is a little shy guy from Papikisi's First Nations who never really had much of a plan. I was happy to, you know, just go work, go to university, go work, just do my thing. And God got a hold of me when I was 17 years old, and it just radically changed me, radically saved me. There was no church on my reserve. There was no church in the area. God just came in and radically saved me, and I just, from there, God's been doing such an amazing work in my life, and I want to tell you right now, God is still doing work in my life. And it's, we never ever stop allowing God to expand us and to move us and to work inside of our lives. And the Lord just keeps pulling me back. He says, remember. And I just want to share this a little bit with you. And I had a message of, maybe it's not for you today, of Ephesians, I begin to share Ephesians on my morning devotions, and the Lord began to minister to me in such a powerful way. And in such a wonderful way, he says, begin to partner with me. Partner with grace. And I guess this is the message this morning as I begin to talk about grace. And it's really God's unmerited favor, right? So we understand, we quote that, or we try to figure out what grace means, and we try memorize what the pastor said about grace, and we go home and say, yeah, that's nice. So let's say grace over our meal, but it's really not grace over your meal. You're just really, you know, asking God to bless it, right? So it's really not grace. And so I said, Lord, expand this whole understanding inside of me. Expand this whole understanding of who you are in what you've done for me through grace. And it's, he began to kind of unlock some things inside of me. And he said, it's favor. That's what it is. It's my divine favor in your life. And he says, you can actually, and it's quite amazing because he said, you can actually try work. You know, in the Old Testament, this is the, you do good, you follow the laws, You pay your sacrifices, you come and you do all of these things, and favor will come into your life. But when Jesus came, and the whole point of the cross, the whole point of cross is us coming into favor. Woo, hallelujah. And allowing, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, you know, it's by grace you are saved through faith. And when I get excited, I start quoting King James, so forgive me. I usually share out of the Amplified all the time, but when I get excited, I quote King James, just kind of flows out of me. And But it's by grace you're saved. And God began to, he said, Bill, tell, you know, I was going through devotions and the main stream what God was showing through the book of Ephesians, the main stream that was kind of flowing through the whole book of Ephesians was favor. I want my people to have my favor. It's nothing that you've purchased. It's nothing that you can earn. It's nothing that you can actually, you can't dress up well enough, or you can't give enough. You can't work enough. You can't come to church and do Bible studies enough. It's something that you cannot earn. It's my favor. And favor, God wants to pour favor into my life, because all what religion does is says that they give you a bunch of contracts or lots of laws and things that you have to do, and we try to manipulate it enough so that we get to the top of the totem pole, so to speak, in the church, or we're doing this all this, we're manipulating everything to be the best person possible. And yet it's favor, God's divine favor, that's wanting to come inside of our lives. And he wants to change me. And he wants to move me. But what he really wants me to do is he wants me to partner with him. Some of you, and this is what the Lord is saying, some of you may be struggling in your businesses. I just want you to say that certain simple prayer. Father, I partner with your favor. Because he wants to abundantly, above all that you ask or think, supply that to you. All that you abundantly, you can't imagine. One of the things that's gonna freak us out the most, I think, when we get to heaven, the greatest thing is this, like, this was all mine? This was all mine? Why did I struggle so much? And he said, well, all you had to do was partner with me. All you had to do was accept it. Accept favor into your life. And I began to say, Lord, you know, I'm having a rough day, or having a tough day, or something's coming against me, whatever, Father. I began to pray, Father, I partner with your favor. Because you want to connect me to your grace. And that grace wants to supply everything I need in my life. Whew, hallelujah. And it's, what's the word? He doesn't, I don't want to get into the place where we're all going to be millionaires. You know, we partner with favor. But I want to tell you, when my dog is struggling, I need favor. When my boy and his wife are not doing well in their marriage, Father, I need your favor. Because it's your favor that's gonna move in that life, in that situation. It's your grace that I want to partner with. I've been teaching it. It's not how many times I go to the altar, or how many. It's not based on how much of this I do. And God had to get me out of this, because we grew up pretty strict Catholics. You know, we were growing up, you know, we want to be good little people and good little Indians. And if you're a good little Indian, you know, you'll get all of this stuff, you know, and never, you could do the equation, but it never works. It never adds up. Amen. You can do the equation, all the equations you want. It will not add up until I accept his divine favor into my life. And all I've been teaching and all I've been sharing with our congregation is that God, miracles work through favor. God's healing works through favor. God's strength that I need every single morning, and I get up, works through favor, His divine grace in my life. Whoo, hallelujah. And I partner with Him. And I partner with Him, and I constantly partner with Him, because the enemy is trying to rip my hands apart, and he's trying to rip that relationship apart. And because he knows if I start looking at myself, looking at my situation, looking at all of these different things, and if the enemy can get that out of my mind about partnering with Him, then I go on I'll spin off out of control. And I know some of you have gone there, spun out of control. What's going on in my life? I can't understand what's going on in my life. All of it, a lot of it is just a simple prayer that I've been learning. Father, today I'm going to partner with you today. Because you've done all the work. Your Son did all the work on the cross. I can't do any of the work. Amen. Amen. But yet I do a whole lot of work because I partnered with grace. Grace fills me up, and grace sustains me. Grace allows me to run a couple churches or run, you know, three or four or whatever, wherever we're going, right? Wherever, whatever direction we're going. Whatever, it's I partner with Him. Favor comes out behind me, carries me, lifts me up, gives me honor, amen. He sustains me, He blesses me, and He prospers me. Woo, hallelujah. And just like out of the blue, you know, I was learning this, and I'm no longer a counselor, and I was thankful because I was getting, like Tilly, I was getting burnt out. I was doing counselor, doing the church and everything, and but I began to partner with the Father. Father, I want you to bless my First Nation. I want you to bless my First Nation. Amen. And within those 4 years that I was counselor, amen, we got a $150 million settlement, land settlement. And now it's helping our First Nation. It's prospering our First Nation. The other day, we also, I said, Lord, Father, we need a hall. And I began to push this hall. I began to push it and push it. Everybody was wanting to give up on it. I said, if we take this $150 million, well, subtract the lawyer fees, we put it in a trust, and we built the trust, put it in trust. That trust, whatever the interest off that trust, will pay for many things that our First Nations needs. And we understand the time, you know, all of that economics, time, value of money, and all of that fun stuff. I love that stuff, but it just amazing. As a lot of my First Nations friends who talk about, they talk about their biggest, one of their biggest sayings is, they say, we must think about our children and our grandchildren. You hear that many times. But once they heard money, they forgot about their children and their grandchildren. But I pushed it because I wanted to think about my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, because that trust would supply all of the needs. But I wanted to tell you what got us there. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, favor got us there. We got some decision making, some of the best lawyers, some of the best. We had access to we got access to Ottawa, and because of that, 33 years we waited for that thing to be fulfilled. It happened in my term, and I give God the praise, and I give God the glory, and I give God all. It's because of who He is, and we're building a hall and all this wonderful stuff. And I wanted to. I also guide. I just wanted to close with this. I guide. I understand Paul sitting in a little 4x4 box. I sit in a 4x4 box once in a while and wait for hours and hours and hours for the right deer to come. But I guide American hunters. And American hunters come up, very rich guys, like filthy, a lot of them are filthy rich. And they get, they always ask, I tell Tilly, let's pray for them. And God literally gives my, me, I'm the guide. We always have those, always internal competition with the other guides. These guys get some of the best bucks. I know because of God's favor. But also, there was a man who who's married to a First Nation gal down in Alabama, the only First Nation in Alabama. Yeah, you didn't think there was First Nations down in Alabama, the Deep South. But he's married to one of the most influential women of that band. And I'm praying. And he said, our band and their band, they're so wealthy that they give each of their persons in their First Nations $55,000 a year. Just literally gives them 55 every year. And that's American. and then they have grants for university, for anybody who wants to go to university. And they're so wealthy that it's unbelievably how wealthy they are. They're building $40 million complex on the ocean. And they have just did $1 billion sale or bought $1 billion casino. And I know all of this wealth that they have. They said, I'm going to get a chance to talk with her to get our bands together. And I said, Lord, it's your favor. It's your open door. It's your ability that can do these things, multi-million dollar stuff. And we're definitely excited. And you say, some of you, you're saying to yourself, well, I'm just this. That can never happen to me. I'm just this. I hear that you're saying that. I'm just this. And the Lord is saying, he's saying, no, if you would partner with me, I can make you this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And then within that acknowledgement, he begins to acknowledge you. Amen. Amen. He begins to tell you who you are. Whoo, hallelujah. It's amazing. Amen. He begins to tell me, amen, Bill, I love you. Bill, I care about you. Bill, this is who you are. This is, I've called you from the foundations of the world. I've handpicked you. I've seen you in your mother's womb. This is who you are. This is who your name is. This is who your new name is going to be eventually as he gives me a white stone with my name written, my new name written on that stone in Revelations. And as he tells me who I am, the only thing I need to do is say, Lord, I believe you. I partner with you. I partner with your favor. I partner with who you, where you want me to go, where you want to take me, where you want me to share your good news, where you want me to share in the face of all opposition, in the face of opposition within my culture, within my First Nation. I don't care. God, you can raise us up. It's you that does the raising. It's you that does the promotion. It's you who does the promotion in my life. You're the one who promotes me. You're the one who helps me through this. It's you who gets all the praise. It's you who gets all the glory. It's you, amen, that takes me from the depths, amen, of the grave and the depths of the dust, amen, and he pulls me up and he lifts me up, amen, and he pulls me into a place, amen, where he says, you know what, I'm going to even seat you, amen, and Ephesians talks about seating us in heavenly places with him, amen, and we're seated there, amen, with authority inside of Christ. Inside of Christ is, amen, he's on the right hand of the throne, and we're sitting there, amen, this is who we are. And that's why we're going to be so amazed when we get to heaven. Wow, this was all ours. We had access to all of this. And all I struggled through 50 years of being a Christian. Whew. Some of us need to open those doors. Some of us need to understand, amen, that the God of heaven is for you. Amen. He's not against you. Grace is for you. Amen. It's not against you. Grace, amen, will sustain you through everything he calls you to. Amen. Grace will strengthen you even when you seem like you're, amen, at the lowest point in your life. Amen. Grace works the greatest when you're the weakest. So I learned I'm going to be a professional weaker guy. I don't know about you. I'm going to be the weakest possible guy because that's where grace is in my life. As soon as I get up and say I'm strong, then I am weak. But as soon as I say, oh, Father, I need you, I'm weaker than weak. I can't face all these moonyash. Amen. 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 Yet he gives me strength to preach the gospel. Strength to share of the good news. Amen. Strength, amen, to encourage my brothers and my sisters. Amen. I just love, amen, love being here. Amen. I love sharing, amen, what God has for us. Amen. He has so much for us. Amen. And I just don't want to, what's the word? I don't just want to be a coach. Amen. I want to be on the battlefield. I want to be on the field. Amen. I want to play the game. There's a lot of coaches out there who just don't want, they'll tell you how to serve the Lord, but they will pull, they will drag their feet on how, you know, their personal lives and stuff like that. But they'll tell you, oh, that is wrong. Oh, that's wrong in your life. And, oh, that's wrong in your life. I've had some guys who have never come to church and they're telling me what's wrong in my life. Man. Yeah. And you should never eat that burger. That burger's too big. You're a glutton. And okay. I don't fight them back. But I want to tell you, favor is amazing. Partner, get on the wave. A favor, because he's going to start opening the doors so greatly and so prosperously. And that's why I said, pray if you have own a business, Father, I partner with favor in my life. And with my, and all of a sudden you'll get some calls. Can you do this work for me? Can you do this for me? And you're going to begin to hire others. And other people will be needing your services and you're going to hire more people. And that's what, and then you'll sit back and say, that couldn't be me. I want to tell you, you know what it is? It's favor inside of you. It's Christ inside of you. And I want to pray, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you're an amazing, amazing, amazing God. And we give you praise. And you've given us access, Father, to the greatest power in this universe. Jesus said, I must go. I must go. Because if I don't go, Holy Spirit won't come. And we have the greatest power and the greatest authority in this whole universe. Amen. The God of heaven. And I just want to encourage you. If I can encourage you just a little bit, say, I want a partner. You may just want to practice grace a little bit. Today I'm going to practice, Father, with you. I'm going to just partner with your grace. And you're going to see an expansion in whatever God is. You're going to see amazing things. So I just pray, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here in Maple Creek, Lord, for those that are just need a fresh touch this morning. Father, need a little encouragement, Lord God, just need some, even need a little kick in the butt, Lord God. I just pray, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we're your sheep. we're without you. Without the great shepherd, we're nothing. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Brother Paul.